What do you really get excited about? What really gets you going? What do you get hyped about? What gets you excited? When you got your regular schedule, you got things that you do on a regular basis, you have your routine. What things, when they come up, you move your schedule around? You get that routine out of the way and you get that in. You make sure that happens. What is that for you? What are those things that you make sure you fit into your schedule? Spurs game. Yeah, so for me, like, I'm a sports fan. That's where I was going. I have it in my nose, Dan. You're right. Kindred spirits right there. So a couple weeks ago, the NFL draft was on, and guess what I did? I moved my schedule around so that I could watch the draft. My Arizona Cardinals had the number one pick in the draft, and that's horrible. That means we were the worst team in the league. So, but I'm still following them, and I'm still moving things around my schedule because I love it. I love it. I just enjoy it. I love it. I've got a whole history with sports. That's my go-to, man. So when stuff comes up with that, I'm like, let's make this happen. I want to see this. Relationships are another one for me. So if I get a phone call, it's a friend, and they're in like a dire situation, my schedule gets moved, and routine goes out the window. I start doing whatever I need to do to help out in that case. My daughter's another one. Kendi tends to interrupt my work a lot. So she'll come into the office when I'm working. I'm working on something, and she wants to tell me something, and she wants me to play some game, and half the time I'm falling into it, and I'm playing some pretend game with her, and that's just what happens. When you love something, it moves everything else out of the way. What about you? What are those things for you that you really, really enjoy, that if they came up, if something comes up, and this is something that you're going to put into your schedule? Think about those as we look at today's passage, because in today's passage, we're going to see what got Israel's attention. There's something that gets Israel's attention, and they all move their schedules around. They start doing some crazy stuff to go see what's happening with this guy named Jesus. So please, if you have not already done so, turn with me into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. This is the end of chapter 4, and so next week we talked about John Cantor. He's going to come, guest preacher. He's going to preach to you guys. And then the following week, man, we get going on the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5. And I am stoked beyond belief to get into the Sermon on the Mount. Crazy, crazy excited. So you're coming at the right time in Matthew in this series, because it's going to be, as the younger kids would say, off the chain. It's gonna be lit. It's gonna be ridiculous. It's gonna be awesome. So, anyways, we're not there yet, but it's still good. So, verse 23 says this: Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Here we see three main things that are happening in this passage. Number one, there is massive hype. The hype is ridiculous. It's crazy. They're going nuts over this. Number two, this is a shocking show. This is a wild show that everyone's coming to see. And number three, we see a future hope that is being proclaimed to these people. We see this massive hype, right? There's all these people, they're coming. They're coming from all over the place. This isn't just a local thing happening in one town. They are gathering crowds from all over the area, all over the region. If you can walk there in a few days, you're coming to see this guy. Jerusalem's a ways away. You've got to go, you've got to travel to get there. And they're coming. They're coming to see this. So there's a lot of hype happening with this event. We see this as a shocking show, not only of miracles, but we're also seeing the charisma of Jesus gathering these people. His personality, who he was, draws them, and then the content of his teaching. All of this is creating an unbelievable show that people want to come and see. And then we also see a future hope, and he talks about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. this kingdom that's coming, that's filling the people with hope, and hope for what God is going to bring, and the hope of the future for the fulfillment of all the promises that God has. Now, if you kind of balked at me saying that this is a show, here's what I mean by that. I mean, subconsciously, deep down for Israel, from Israel's perspective, subconscious, this is a show. That's what they're there for. Consciously, they think they're there because they're good, righteous Jewish people following what God wants. And here's Jesus, here's the prophet. They think they're on the right side, but Jesus knows better. He knows that actually subconsciously, they're just there for the show. And he says as much in John chapter 6. He gets into this and he's talking to them in verse 26. What happens is this. He has just fed 5,000 people. And the people are going nuts over this, right? They're going crazy over this. Like, he had nothing. He had basically a few baskets of food, and he fed 5,000 of us. And so they're like fangirl screaming over Jesus. And then Jesus, instead of staying with the hype, he gets in a boat and goes across the sea. And so everyone's like, hey, where'd he go? We got to go find him. So the whole crowd goes and runs after Jesus. And then when he gets there, when they get to see him, they're like, hey, what's the deal? And he said, look, you didn't come to me because of what I'm teaching you. You came because your bellies were filled. I gave you food. And that's why you're really here. You're here for the show. You're here to see some crazy stuff. And you're here to get some free gift bag things. And that's why you're here. Don't be like that. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to the truth that I'm giving to you. So let's talk about these three things. Let's talk about the hype. And to understand the hype that we're seeing in this passage and what the crowds are doing, I wanted to talk about a few other examples here. So last week, if you didn't live under a rock, you knew that Avengers Endgame came out. How many of you saw it?
I did.
I saw it. Yeah, I saw it. I saw it in a big way. It was great. I went with Marty. Marty and I went, and we took turns with Brittany and my wife. They watched the kids first, and then we watched the kids because we wanted to see it. All right, last weekend, this movie made $1.2 billion worldwide. $1.2 billion. This is crazy. The biggest opening in a movie history ever. Worldwide made over $1 billion. That's nuts. I can't even get my head around how much money that is. There is so much hype to this. So if you don't know, Marvel is the comic book, and they made all, like, over 11 years, I think it was, something like 20 different movies, all in a line, all about the same thing, culminating in this movie. And so it was huge. All right, it was so huge that when people spoiled it for other people, it got nasty. There was a youth pastor. He's like in front of like 1,000+ kids, and he gave away a spoiler. And if you watch the video, don't watch the video unless you want to hear the spoiler, Miranda. Or don't listen to the video. I won't tell you. But he gives away a spoiler, and the crowd is like so. You can taste the tension. You can feel the tension in the crowd of these teenagers that are like, you just ruined the movie. You ruined it. It got so crazy. There was a guy in Hong Kong that got assaulted at the movie. He's walking out of the movie theater, and he gives it away, and people beat him up. People straight beat him up. They went fist to that guy. There was a guy in Houston, in the Houston area, a 33-year-old man. Grown man, I'm 35, 33-year-old man, works at Domino's. His coworker tells him a spoiler. He assaults him and gets arrested. That happened. That's a lot of hype. People want to see this movie, all right? So that's crazy. That's nuts. I would be upset if I got a spoiler, but I wouldn't beat you up. But there are people out there. There are people out there that would. Marty and I, we were conscious of this. We got out of the movie and we're like, okay, so how did this happen? And then people walk by and we're like, can't say nothing. Shh, stop. Don't give it away, man. Don't give it away. Go quiet. Don't tell them. Right? There's so much hype with this. We've seen this before. You've seen big hysteria things like the boy band stuff, right? The girls are going crazy, like the Beatlemania, and they come into town, there's this concert, and the girls are screaming, and they're passing out, they're fainting, and they're crying, like, oh my gosh, they're here. Like, you've seen this, right? You've seen that. They're crying over Frank Sinatra. They're crying over Elvis. One Direction. Who is it now? Who's the boy band now, by the way? I don't even know. Is there a big boy band right now? Or are we kind of in a vacuum, like waiting for another one? Okay. All right. It's probably going to be bad then. If there's not one right now, there's one that's going to fill the void within a few years. They're going to be crazy, so watch out. But people go nuts, right? They go nuts over stuff. When Harry Potter, the new books, would come out, they'd have midnight release parties. And some of you probably went to those. Midnight, show up to the bookstore. Long line. Everybody's got their wand and their, like, Harry Potter wizard stuff, right? You get crazy with stuff. You get excited. Now, those are, like, entertainment things that we get excited about. A movie that's about superheroes and aliens fighting. Like, not real. It's entertainment. Harry Potter, wizards, they don't exist. Okay? Think about some differences between the information age that we live in and the ancient world. All right? So just to get yourself into a mindset, all right, let's get out of the information age and let's think about what, when you got hyped about something in the ancient world, what was that like? Well, just think about some of this stuff, all right? So think about your consumption of music. If you want to listen to music, you just get on your headphones, get on the internet, you turn on television, you have access to anything and everything that you want to listen to. If you lived just 300 years ago, you know where you had to go to get the best music? To even hear it, you had to go to the opera, you had to go to a cathedral. And it wasn't anywhere else. You didn't have just like magical orchestras in your house. You had to go to listen to it, right? You had to go to experience these things. Imagine what the circus would have been like if you lived in San Antonio in 1825. And the circus comes to town. And they've got elephants and giraffes and they've got all this stuff. What would that be like for you that you've heard of them, you've seen drawings and you've read about them in books, but to see an actual African animal there, what would that be like for you? That'd be crazy. That'd be nuts for you. Right? Now go back a millennia and a half into the time of Christ. Stuff's different, man. Stuff's different. And if you get access to something, if you see something that's awesome, you are excited. You're ready to go see this thing. And you're telling all your friends and all your family, you want to go see this. So why is there so much hype with Jesus? Why is everybody flocking to this guy? Why are they traveling days to go see this dude? Because this is a tremendous show for them. He brought charisma, he brought teaching, and he brought miracles. That's some good stuff. That's some fun stuff. You want to go see that. Talk about his charisma, man. He's got a captivating personality. Just his personality, who he is, he commands attention. He's up there and everybody's like, man, that guy's awesome. That guy's incredible. He's teaching with authority. That's new. All these other teachers, the rabbis, what they would do is such and such guy from long ago who was an expert, he said this, and so that's what I agree with. Jesus is coming to him. Yeah, they said that, but I tell you, and they're like, whoa, this guy says that he has authority. That's awesome. So that's new, and so that's grabbing their attention. Then he's welcoming everybody. He's got friends that are tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes, and they're coming and hanging out with him. They're like, whoa. Are we allowed to do that? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? That's probably not what we're supposed to be doing, but this is crazy. This is fun. Let's watch. What? Let's get our popcorn out and see what this guy's doing. And he's not swayed by the authorities either. So these authorities that have all this sway and all this clout socially, he's not swayed by them. And so this is drawing a ton of people coming, just his personality. And then on top of that, you add his teaching. Teaching back in the day was huge, enormous. They don't have the internet, they don't have radio, don't have newspapers. So if you get around somebody that is teaching, that's a huge deal. This is how Luke describes the people of Athens back in the day when Paul's going there. This is Acts chapter 17, verse 21. This is his assessment of the Athenians. He says this: now all the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new. That's what he says. He's like, all these Athenians, all they do is want to get together and try to talk and hear about something new. So that's the context that these people are in. If you hear something new, if you hear a new teaching, that's gold. So all these people are being drawn to his teaching now, and they're coming towards it. And he's, as I said earlier, he's teaching with authority, and they're like, man, this is crazy. And he's not just saying something new. He's not just saying something unique. He's not just saying something interesting. He's saying things that are extremely deep, incredibly deep, cutting to the soul deep. When he's resurrected, he is on the road to Emmaus. Some of his disciples run across him and they don't realize that it's him. And then when they realize it's him and he's gone, it says this in Luke chapter 24. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road?" While he was explaining the scripture. Like, our hearts were burning. That's the style of teaching that he had. That's the impact that he had on people. When he taught, people's hearts burned. So he's got the charisma. He's got the teaching. And then add on top of that, he's got the miracles. He's performing these crazy miracles. Think about what you would do for a family member if they got sick. They had some ailment. Last year, Kendi was trying to get off the couch, missed the floor somehow with her feet, caught it with her chin. So she busted up her chin. We raced to San Antonio to get her fixed. Like, we were racing. We got up to Children's Hospital, saw Chris, helped us out, helped our baby girl out, because we wanted to get our girl fixed, right? If you got a family member, you got a loved one, they get hurt, they got something wrong, you want to fix them as fast as possible. You do anything for them. Now think about if you're in the ancient world. No hospitals, no penicillin. Your medicines are like herbs. That's kind of what you got access to. There's a physician maybe in the next town over, right? Like, their knowledge of stuff is really, really limited. Now imagine your family member, your loved one is really, really sick. And you got access to next to nothing. But then you hear there's a guy named Jesus, and he's healing people. What are you going to do to get your family member there? That's going to get your attention. I'm going to get there as fast as I can. I'm going to get my mom there. I'm going to get my dad there. I'm going to get my grandpa. Like, we got to get them to Jesus. Okay? So the energy that's around what's happening here, the energy that's around Jesus is off the charts. What these people are doing, coming to him, and they are excited. I wanted to show a video to kind of give you an idea. Like, this is as close as I can get to kind of displaying for us, if we can get that up and going, understand what it would have been like to see a miracle back in the day. This is about as good as I can do for us and how people would respond to the miracle. Hopefully it's going to work out. If not, I'll just explain it. Can we get the lights out, if you don't mind? This baby is deaf and just got treatment so that they can hear. So you're about to see this baby hear for the first time. Let me move this out of the way.
Yeah. Hello. Hello. I've never seen that face before. Hi. Are you emotional? You're gonna make me cry. Hi. You see your little chin. Hi. Yeah, are you gonna be emotional like your mama? Yeah. You're so sweet. Yeah. I love you. I love you.
Yeah, can I get this That's magic. That's, oh. Okay, so last night I'm trying to find videos that are going to work for that. And I'm looking at those videos, the babies that can hear for the first time, the adults that can hear for the first time, the colorblind glasses that make people see. I'm a ball and mess last night, folks. I'm watching video. And I'm like, I can't handle this. This is amazing. Oh, they can see and they can do all this stuff, man. It's crazy. It's crazy. Think of it like the baby is hearing for the first time the beauty that is there. Like the baby gets emotional. Like the baby can't handle the emotion of the beauty of being able to hear for the first time. And you watch these videos. Like I tried to find a video where the guys that are colorblind and they get the Enchroma glasses that help them see color for the first time. I can't find one that doesn't start out with an expletive because everyone's so shocked. Like the first thing that come out of their mouth is either that or they're say, oh my gosh, but they use the Lord's name either in vain or in the most perfect way that you could use the Lord's name. Because for the first time ever, they're like grown men are breaking down, crying at the beauty of seeing color for the first time. You got to go watch these videos. Because they all of a sudden they're seeing these colors and like there's this one big burly dude, looks like a biker guy. And the guy's going like this at the end of it. He's going. And there's others that are like, oh, what? What? This is what you all see? And then there's this other kid that's like, is this real life? And then he goes, oh, he just starts crying. He just starts crying. There's this other kid that just goes like, oh. And it, like, for them to see, what's interesting about the colorblind one is, like, with deaf people, we've had some procedures for deaf people sometimes that for certain people can help them regain hearing. And so we know about that. But these glasses just came out. And so you have people thinking there's no hope ever that they're ever going to see color. And all of a sudden, they open up a present. They don't know what it is. They put on the glasses, and they're seeing color. All right? When you see miraculous stuff like that, in the sense of something that was awful becoming something beautiful, it's emotional. It's captivating. It captures you. Now put yourself back into the ancient world and think about what it would be like to have your dad who's paralyzed, right? Your daughter who's demon-possessed get healed. It's crazy. That's what's happening here. Now, that video happened there just with one person. Imagine these things are now happening in front of a crowd. The hype is off the charts. I want you to do something for me, okay? Share with your neighbor if you've had an experience like that or you've seen a video like that or there's something that you would love to see get fixed, cancer, some ailment, something like that. Talk amongst yourselves a little bit. Again, you don't have to, but talk amongst yourselves a little bit about what you've seen and what's been really, really captivating for you along those lines. Go ahead. And it is the hope of a glorious future. What Jesus is offering them with a hope for the future makes this overwhelming. Jesus picks up on John the Baptist's message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. We're going to talk a lot about repentance throughout our series, so I'm not going to talk about it a lot right now, but let me hone in on the glorious future of the gospel of the kingdom. Let me talk about that. Let me talk about what that meant for these people, okay? Jesus is declaring that the kingdom of heaven is nearly here. It's almost here. It's like right upon us. The kingdom of heaven is coming. A kingdom means you have a king. And you may be going, what? Wait, you guys have a king, Caesar. No, the Romans have a king. The Jews do not have a king. They are subject to the Romans. They are not Roman citizens. They have been overtaken, they've been conquered, and they have been mistreated by the Romans. So if the kingdom of heaven is coming, there is a Jewish king coming. That's a game changer. people, if you listen to people of different ethnic groups that are among people that have been subjugated to another group, another country, another people group, and you listen to them, for instance, Native Americans, people of African descent with slavery in the United States, you listen to groups of these types of people, you listen to the pain that is there for them in being subjugated to another country and not having your own country rule you and rule your world. It's painful. It hurts. It's difficult. You can look at the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union came in and they took over several different countries in Eastern Europe. And if you look at the collapse of the Soviet Union, one of the things that ignited the collapse was there was a guy in Prague and he decided to light himself on fire, run through the main square, and commit suicide that way. Like that was one of the things that set off the collapse of the Soviet Union. And get this, these people were only subjected to the Soviet Union for about 50 years by the time that happened, right? Only 50 years of subjugation. And they had that level of angst that they needed to say, we got to get out of the Soviet Union. That's huge. That's a lot of pain. Now think about what the Native Americans and the people of African descent have felt over these couple hundred years, especially like last 250 years here in the U.S. Now, take that concept, right? And take what you know of the pain that's there and the suffering that they've experienced. 250 years. Now, I don't want to compare the amount of pain and how much level, but let me just compare the time, all right? The Native Americans, African Americans, roughly 250 years ago, obviously there's a wide range of spectrum, but think about from the last 250 years, how they haven't been in charge. Now, think back to Israel in the time of Jesus. Do you know how long it's been since they've had a king? 600 years. They haven't had a king in 600 years. They had about 90-something years where they had autonomous control of their country, but no king. But 600 years since they haven't had a king. Now, think about what that would mean to them that someone's coming in and saying, the kingdom is coming. You're going to gain back your country. They're thrilled. They're excited. They're tired of the Romans. They want their own kingdom. They want this. So they're very excited about that. Having sovereignty over your land, your people, your governance, your religion, it's priceless, folks. And that's what Jesus is offering. And on top of that, Jesus isn't just offering, hey, you get your land back, you get to be autonomous, you get to have your own king. He's also saying there's more. There's more because this is going to fulfill not just you wanting to be in charge of yourself. It's fulfilling prophecy. It's fulfilling the promises that God has made to Israel for generation after generation, thousands of years, that he's going to make this place like Eden, like paradise. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You get control back of your land, and everything that you want is coming back your way. That's why everybody's so excited. That's why everybody is so pumped about what Jesus is saying, because they want all of that. Here's what Jesus is essentially saying to them by doing the miracles, by saying what he's saying. He's saying this: I do what the Father does. Everything that the Father does, look at what I'm doing. I do it too. And I can give you everything. Everything. What does Jesus do, or what does the Father do? The Father gives life. He gives health. He gives prosperity. He gives all these different things. What does Jesus do in the miracles? The same exact thing. He gives health. He gives life. He gives prosperity. Hey, you don't have food? That's fine. Look at this. Feed 5,000 people. Boom, like that. I can do everything that the Father does. That's what Jesus is doing. And I'm offering you everything. I am God, and I can give you everything. So the question becomes for these people, are you just there for the hype? Are you there to follow him? To really get him? To really give everything to him? That's what Jesus is asking them. He's like, look, I know it's a show. I know there's a lot of cool stuff happening. But are you here for that, or are you here because you really think that I can give you everything? And if you believe that, then that means that I get everything from you. You need to give everything to me. Are you willing to do that? And that same question is here for us. Why are you here in this church or any other church? Why are you going to God? Is it to get something? Is it for the hype? Is it for the social status? Is it because you want him to fix something? Is it just that? Is he just something to gain from? Or is there something beyond the hype? Do you really believe he's God? And do you really believe that you can entrust to him everything that you have so that you will gain everything in return? That's the question for all of us. It goes beyond just the hype. It goes to believing that is actually, it takes faith to believe that God is going to give us everything. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when the kingdom comes, he will give you everything? All those things that you want, all those things that you desire, all those things that are deep down in your heart, do you really believe that he's going to give them to you? You don't know, right? You don't know absolutely in the sense of you can prove it, right? You have to believe that. That's only something that you can put faith in. We haven't seen what's on the other side of death, personally. We've seen it in Christ, and we trust that, but that's a faith issue, right? So, do you believe enough to give everything to this guy, Jesus, in hopes that he's going to give you everything? This is the starting place for understanding God and interacting with him. Let me prove that to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him," being God. It's impossible to please him without faith. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Let me repeat it. It is impossible to please God without faith because you have to believe he exists and believe that he's going to reward those who seek him. This is the beginning of understanding God. If you want to have a relationship with him, it starts on this bedrock. He is good. He loves you. He wants to give you good things. If you don't understand that, if you don't believe that, you don't know God. That's at the core of who he is. That is who he is. And so if you don't understand that, if you don't believe that, if you haven't totally bought into that idea that he is going to give rewards, good things, life and blessing to those that believe that him, that have faith in him, you don't understand who God is. You don't know him because that's who he is. He is the author of life and blessing, and he wants to give it to everybody who seeks him. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 11 says this, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" This is who God is. Those who seek, receive. He wants to give you everything you desire. The question is, do you believe it? And are you willing to give up everything to get it? That's the question for us. Do you believe that he will give you everything that you desire? Not in this life, man, not in this life, but in the life to come. But in this life, does he get all of what you are? That is the question. So if you believe, hope, put everything in that hope of that future that's coming and share that hope, because you... you know we could use some more of it here. And if you don't, you need to do business with this. You need to do business with why you don't believe that God is going to give you everything. He has promised us eternal life, paradise, blessings beyond what we can imagine. Let me go back to the colorblind glasses. when these people put on the glasses, when you watch the videos, they're just blown away that something right there in front of them was always there and they never saw it. Like, it's so bright. It looks so weird. How can you've been seeing this their whole life? That's the way they operate. Here's what can be there for you today if you haven't trusted Christ, if you haven't really believed that he's going to give you something good in the end. It's like opening up to a world that's beautiful and you're seeing it for the first time. That's what it's like. When we get to heaven, that's what our reactions are going to be like. It's like this. It's like this. How is that possible? So here's what I want to do for you guys. I think sometimes we don't dwell long enough. We don't really sit and reflect on things enough. So here's what I want you to do. I want you guys to take, we'll take 5 minutes. I want you to go deep down and I want you to think about what you really want. I mean, like, what do you really, really, really want? And do you trust that God is going to satisfy that urge, that craving, that desire that's deep down? Do you trust that he's going to give that to you? I want you to go deep down there. And if you do believe that, I want you to just rest for 5 minutes in that. Just rest in the hope that he's going to give that deep desire to you. And if you're like, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I trust that. I want you to do business with that. Take 5 minutes and really reflect on, why don't I trust that? Why am I not there? So I'll come back in 5 minutes. Take some time, silently reflect. The promise of the gospel is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming, and it can't be stopped. And when the kingdom of heaven comes and lands on earth, God will reign in perfect righteousness and dispense blessing without limit. If you ever feel like you want to see a grown man cry, go look at one of those videos where they're colorblind and they get those glasses and watch them cry over seeing pink and purple for the first time. It's amazing. There are people out there that don't know the gospel. They haven't heard the gospel. They haven't seen the gospel. You hold beauty, folks. Don't hold it to yourselves. Share it. Now, how do we get to heaven? How do we get the kingdom of heaven coming to earth? How does that happen? We have to go through the cross. And so right now we're going to go through and partake of communion. And we're going to remind ourselves why we get to have heaven. Why we get to receive all of the blessings that God has for us. The only reason we have that is because Christ died on the cross for us. So if I can have the ushers come forward.